You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everybody, welcome into the Dublin to Denver podcast on the Mile High Report podcast network. We are going into week 12. We've had a little bye week. Please excuse us. It's been one of those seasons, to be honest with you. Colm is actually in the States this weekend, so it's myself and Stuart Roach. But Colm, having his own bye week, he's actually going to the Broncos game this weekend, and he is taking part in media as well. So looking forward to hearing his thoughts on the experience, and if anybody is listening and does see Colm over the weekend, be sure to give him a shout. But for now, joined, as always, by Stuart Roach. Stuart, well, I was going to say, as always, you and Colm were solo 2 weeks ago. This is my first show in 3 weeks. How's it going?
Good. Yeah, hopefully my internet will show a bit more fortitude than it did last time. My internet
is kind
of similar to the Broncos' run defense at the moment, it seems, unfortunately. But hopefully, there has been no problems recently. So hopefully it'll hold out. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done one of these. It's also been a while since the Broncos have broken our hearts, so hopefully we're in a 7-game season now. We'll see how it goes. I think I was listening to our old friend Troy Rank during the week, and he was saying that realistically the Broncos need to go 5-2 in these next 7 games, because given the tiebreakers, we've somehow managed to lose to all the teams that are going to be involved in the tiebreakers in and around us on the 9 win, because you'd normally think like a 9-8 this season, 9 wins should have you on the sort of the cusp of the playoffs. But given the fact that we've managed to lose to all those teams in and around us, we really need to get to 10 wins, and that's going to be pretty tough given the schedule we've got coming up. So
absolutely, I want to very quickly focus on Colorado sport and just mention it, because they weren't getting enough attention, Stuart. Colorado Rapids got beat last night in the playoffs. Of course, they got beat from Colorado. That was a joke last night. You know, this is a Colorado team, you know, going into the semifinals of the playoffs. But hard luck to all the Rapids fans. I know, like, there's loads of ones. Like, I was watching the game last night and got it for the boys. Kevin Doyle played for the Rapids, Stuart. So there's a bit of an Irish connection there, but another Denver team getting far. And
I'd heard that they'd lost. All right, that was unfortunate. And that, I don't think the Nuggets are not going through a particularly good spell right now either, from what I believe. So,
but the Broncos are 0.500, man. So it's all good at the minute. 5-5. Well, it's not all good. Let's be honest. We haven't had a show since the last one in terms of that Eagles game. So let's quickly look at that there, and then talk about extensions, and then look at the game this weekend. But I know it's hard to go back 2 weeks, Stuart, but for me, I had picked the Broncos to win that Eagles game based upon the whole, you know, obviously going to Dallas and and shocking the world almost. And I know I'm going into a lot of stuff there, but, you know, watching the Cowboys on Thanksgiving and seeing that they're putting up, I know they got beat on Thursday, but seeing that they put up 33 points against the Raiders look really good. Let's be honest, they look like they can get the ball down the field. And their defense took Dallas to shreds there last night at one point. But, you know, stomping Dallas and then losing by that much against the Eagles, but not only losing, Stuart, but just looking so, I don't want to say lethargic, but just so stop start. It was almost, you know, if we had won that game, we're sitting 6-4. I know we're in the hunt technically at the minute, but 6-4 would have been a game changer going into that bye.
Yeah, we talked about it, Mick. I think I think we all expected to get our asses whooped by Dallas. I think the Cowboys clearly looked like they took the Broncos for granted. I think Dak didn't look fit. Ezekiel Elliott didn't look fit. But the rest of the Dallas team looked like they just thought they were going to have to show up. And I think we then assumed that we would carry on that kind of momentum going into the Eagles game. And, you know, I think we kind of quickly realized that. I don't know, and I don't think any Broncos fan really knows what team is going to show up on any given night. I mean, I think there's just, you know, you see, I think the high mark of the Broncos was that game against the Cowboys, regardless of whether or not the Cowboys showed up or not. Unfortunately, the Eagles' performance is just yet another in a series of wretched performances, and particularly at home as well. I mean, our home record is pretty poor. Like, we were close to going into overtime against the Washington team, you know, previous to the Eagles game. Previous to the Cowboys game. You know, we've got absolutely blown out by the Raiders in Denver. We've been blown out by the Ravens. And there's no shame in getting blown out by the Ravens. You know, you'd expect it not to happen. But, like, we have a terrible home record at the moment. And I just don't know what team is going to show up on any given night. Like, I did say a few weeks ago, I thought we would win a game that nobody expects us to win. We would lose a game that we really have no business losing. I think that happened with the Cowboys. That was the game no one expected us to win. And the Eagles was a game that we should have been winning that game. I think you kind of know what you're going to get with the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is going to be very dangerous with his legs. You know, but I still, you know, Howard, Scott, these guys, they just ran it down our throats. And I thought our run defense was going to improve with the addition of the middle linebackers. You can almost forgive, you know, a depleted linebacker core, the game that they gave up against the Browns, because the Browns run the ball very well. But, you know, like, Young has come in and he's done really well. But I don't know what happened to that run defense against the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is an underrated player, but Jalen Hurts is not Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? So, like, that was a wretched performance. I think it was overshadowed somewhat by Teddy's business decision, which I'm sure we'll touch on briefly now in a minute. But, you know, and I think it was yet another in a series of almost convenient moments that have cropped up to allow a game to sort of become a narrative in itself. So there was the Ravens ran the ball to keep that 100-yard rushing game streak, and they were, you know, that was Bush League, and you don't do that. Teddy deciding not to even attempt to tackle seemed to become the story after the Eagles game. You're kind of going, yeah, but you got to look past that. You know what I mean? Like, that Eagles performance was as bad. I mean, what were the Eagles going into that game? Were they 3-6 going into that game?
They were 2-6. Then they won. They went 3-6, and then they beat the Saints and going 4-6. My mate was over at the Eagles game last weekend, yeah. And Hurts has improved. He has improved.
He has. Yeah, he's done well. He's done well.
And yeah, like, I mean, I guess I was going to say, I'm going to stay in the positive. I was going to win a run, but yeah, like, man, Bridgewater.
They beat a Saints team that is down to their third string quarterback.
Oh my God. It was Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, a former starting quarterback of the Broncos. You know, like that's where you're at. Like, the Broncos should not be losing that game. And my issue.
Especially at home.
And my issue with Fangio and, you know, by extension, the entire coaching. The Broncos are losing far too many of those games in the last couple of years since Fangio's come in. You know what I mean? Like, the Cowboys, you know, for example, like, you're going to get a game like that, which makes no sense. I think this season in particular, like, I don't know, like, any given Sunday, there's a crazy result in the NFL. Do you know what I mean? So you're allowed one or two of those, I think, but you can't be having them every second week. you know, like, I'm look very much of the opinion that I think, you know, if we somehow scrape into the playoffs, I suppose you kind of can't really fire a coach who makes it into the playoffs, even as a wild card team. But like, I'm kind of at the point now where I'm kind of waiting for this all to end. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would be amazed if on Black Monday, Vic is not there. But then again, the Broncos have done nothing that you'd expect them to do in the last couple of seasons. So who knows? Maybe Vic will get an L contract extension and Teddy will be our quarterback again next year. It's like,
oh my God. Well, I'm loving the way. So like, we didn't do a pod last week because we had the bye week. I wasn't on the pod the week before because I was sick. So we've missed, like, we're doing well because we're going into like current stuff and we're looking at, so it's a good flux of conversation. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about Von Miller. I missed that podcast. Was gutted to lose Von, but I'll say this, I hope he gets another shot at the big time, and we'll see what happens with him obviously down the stretch. But just sort of staying on that Eagles game very quickly, like the Teddy Bridgewater incident, like, I didn't laugh, but I was like, you know, Jesus Christ, what's next year? Like, you know, this is just, why? Yeah. Like, yeah, why not? Like, did he watch Friday Night Lights, Stuart?
Yeah, but was he concerned? When I saw that as it was happening, I assumed that there'd been a whistle, that the play had stopped. It was that bad an effort. You know what I mean? I was like kind of going, oh, he's clearly, the refs have stopped it because, you know, but I didn't hear the whistle. And then afterwards you go, okay, no, there was no. I mean, look, you know, to be fair to Teddy Mick, he came back from a horrific injury that nearly cost him his leg. So you can't doubt the man in regards to that kind of. But that was, look, it goes without saying, if that was Locke, he would have been hoisted up he was in the stocks outside the stadium for 2 weeks afterwards, people, you know, queuing up to throw vegetables at him. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the reality. Do you know? I mean, that's
on top of the horse at the top of the stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he would have been dragged through the streets of Denver on a daily basis until, you know, I mean, but again, and what was really interesting, I don't know if you were following it, was, you know, Teddy came out with something, and in fairness, he looked like he was ashamed, but the wording was very interesting because word by word, Fangio echoed what Teddy had said in regards to
him. Oh, aye. And it, I mean, was like, it was like, he always,
this kind of completely ties into the whole quarterback competition in the summer. There was no quarterback competition in the summer. Like, you're getting to the stage now where you're kind of going, it seems like there is literally nothing that Teddy Bridgewater could do now that's going to get him benched. Literally nothing, as long as Fangio is the head coach.
It seems to me as well, like, you're talking there about like the whole mantra of Fangio and Bridgewater. Whenever I watched Bridgewater's quick interview at the end, I think it was Ryan Green or Troy Rank put it up, it looked like it was Michael Scott in the office and he was making it up as he went along. But you're right. I reckon Fangio pulled him aside in the tunnel immediately after and said, say this.
Yeah, this is the party line. This is the party line.
This is the party line. Like, you've touched on so many things there. I think, even if we were to win out and like lose one game, I think Fangio is gone. I can't see how he survives this season. I can't, because this team's going to be sold. And
yeah,
I think
it has, like, to be sold by March of next year, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I think
there's also something interesting though, Michael, which I wasn't aware of. They've changed the rules around assistants being interviewed for head coaching jobs. So they've moved it back now because apparently they don't want assistant coaches interviewing for head coaching jobs during the playoffs. So now potentially you can...
I agree with that.
Yeah, and I do too. Yeah. But now, so now what you could be faced with is this almighty scramble for teams to get candidates in. And I'm not convinced that our lot are actually going to act with the kind of urgency that they need to. So you could end up with all the good candidates have already been signed off for other teams. And we're still left sort of wondering what's going on. That would not surprise me in the least, because we haven't. I mean, you do have to give George Payton a little bit of credit, in fairness. He has made good moves and he's made difficult moves. But I just don't know, given the whole... I know Colin has been talking about this for such a long time, about the fundamental sort of dysfunction in the way the thing is just because there is no owner really at present. I just don't know if we're going to do the right thing. And I just think we're going to be kind of looking around going, hang on a second, the Bears have just hired, you know, Byron Leftwich. The Panthers have just hired the coordinator from the Bills. You know, all these hot candidates that are out there. And then you're going to be left with... you know, a Dan Quinn or one of these, you know, like a retread of a coach. And everyone goes, oh, it's okay to, you know, Gary Kubiak did well and Mike Shannon did well. They're going, yeah, Gary Kubiak did well because Peyton Manning was his quarterback and he had a brilliant defense. You know, Shanahan obviously is a genius. It's not as clear cut as that, you know. So this idea that Dan Quinn's going to come in and, you know, lead us to the promised land, I just think that's fanciful, you know. So sorry for interrupting you, but that was something that was news to me. And I can see that impacting us in a really negative fashion, because I just don't think this organization moves with the kind of speed that it needs to, you know.
I remember last year before the Bucks Super Bowl with the Chiefs, I remember all the talk around Eric Bieniemy being linked to all these like certain head coaching gigs. It takes away, like, just wait. There's enough of an offseason. I understand the need for urgency, especially if the Broncos, for example, weren't going to make the postseason. They are sitting in the first week, second week in January. We've had a game for 9 months. So, you know, I understand they want to get on the board quickly, but, you know, I think the ownership situation really plays into that there. I think we can come back and talk about that because we've only got about 15 minutes here. I want to ask you something. Philip Lindsay, away from the Texans, now in Miami. Are you happy with our running game at the minute? Because Javonte Williams, for me, has been a breath of fresh air. Would you like to see that combination of him and Gordon stay for next year, or do you think Melvin Gordon can be gone at the end of the year?
Mick, I don't know if I'm happy with them individually. I mean, I think Melvin Gordon, he does have that issue with fumbles. So, you know, I think, and that reared its ugly head again with the Teddy Bridgewater business decision moment. I think Javonte Williams, I mean, you know, without sort of slapping myself in the back to sort of you know, congratulatory, I did pick him as my breakout star, and I was delighted to see he's delivered, because I think he has been a breath of fresh air. He's been kind of the spark that the offense has kind of gone to again and again. I think individually they're both fine players. Obviously Gordon's a lot more experienced. I think Shurmur gets away from the run game very quickly. I think that's even allowing for the fact that we find ourselves behind in most of the games, apart from we're playing the bottom feeders like the Giants and the teams that we sort of inflated our record on at the start. We go away from the run too quickly, and I don't understand why we do that. I mean, I know why. It's because we don't have a very good offensive coordinator. But you know, it's like, this is very interesting at the weekend. And then again, I was chatting to Colm about this. The Chargers have a really dangerous offense, and they've got some extremely dangerous pass rushers on defense. But the Chargers cannot stop the run. They cannot stop the run. So if you want to beat the Chargers, you run the ball down their throats. Do you confidently think that we're going to stick to the run game no matter what happens on Sunday night? Because I don't.
No, we won't. And I'll talk about more in a minute, but I would get concerned that we'll run the ball a few times and then that'll be it. It'll be like stop, start, stop, start. It needs to be consistent. And unfortunately, with the management we have in place at the minute, it's not going to be. And that could be an issue on Sunday. It could be, because, you know, you're going up against a Chargers team that had a very good win against Pittsburgh last weekend. Granted, I know Big Ben's not the quarterback he was, but Jesus, to still score that many points on prime time, it's concerning. But who knows? Maybe Pat Shurmur could have a hell of a weekend.
But my fear would be that the Chargers get off to a fast start, and, you know, they're 10-0 up in no time, because they have strike options all over the field, and we then just go, oh no, we got to play catch up. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, we do just go away from the one thing that we look like. Javonte Williams has a really high average per rush, and he breaks tackles, and he's just really, really exciting running back. But this Chargers team look like it can score points at will. Now, they don't, as I said, have a great defense. And one of the things I've noticed about the Chargers as well, Mick, is that they tend to be involved almost unnecessarily in shootouts week in, week out. Maybe it's just the way that they're built, but they seem to be involved in close games all the time. Now, they're winning more. They were involved in an awful lot of close games last year, but they just had a habit of losing them. They seem to be winning more often than not this year. But I think you know, you allow yourself to kind of.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Be in danger of blowing games that you really shouldn't be blowing when you're that kind of team, you know. So I would really like to see a commitment to the run. I think you're going to have to accept the fact that the Chargers are going to score points, and you shouldn't panic. Do you know what I mean? You should go, okay, look, we know that these guys have got the capabilities of going deep. They've got, you know, an unbelievably talented young quarterback. They've got weapons all over the place. But you have to stick to your game plan. I mean, unless you're, you know, 15, sort of, you know, 20 points down in the fourth quarter, then by all means start, you know, give Teddy his garbage time stats that he seems to love. But up until the third quarter, if you're still within kind of, you know, touching distance, stick rigidly to your game. The Chargers' Achilles heel is they cannot stop the run. We, on paper, run the ball well when we actually commit to it. Look, how did we win the game against the Cowboys? You know, it's our run game was brilliant. And the run game, as everybody knows, the running game sets up play action, all that kind of stuff, which is where Teddy does look quite dangerous, in fairness to him. But I just don't know. I mean, I'm not confident that Shermer will stick to it because, you know, I don't think he just seems to have a bad feel for a game. You know what I mean? I think when, you know, when you're watching a game, you kind of go, and it's like this, some coordinators, they just get it, the flow, they understand. I don't think maybe he had a few years ago. I don't know. Maybe he just got lucky with Case Keenum that one time, but it's certainly not been the case this year for the Broncos.
I agree with you. I can't see him being there past January the 12th or whatever it is. I just don't get, like, when he came in, remember that buzz the first day he was announced? Like, the buzz, oh my God, this is fantastic. It hasn't worked, so move on. It's not working, and I don't want to jump too much in the picks for the weekend because I don't want to give away my pick, but if we don't run the ball on Sunday, we're going to struggle big time against the Chargers. I know our time's limited, so I'm going to very quickly go into this. Obviously, there's been good things so far this season, there's been bad things, but to extend Tim Patrick for 3 years, $30 million. And also Courtland Sutton, 4 years, $60.8 million. For all the guff that we might give a certain franchise, you know, week in, week out, if they do play poorly, you know, fair play to Peyton for tying them down. And, you know, look, maybe this is talk from the inner media circle or something, but to see reports saying that they got a deal for both of them, like under market value, I think is impressive. But it's good to see some sort of consistency for the future, Stuart.
Yeah, look, you know, we do have a very exciting core wide receiver. You know, I think people have, there was some stuff about Jerry Jeudy, you know, the fact that Tim Patrick and Courtland Sutton got long-term deals, meaning that, you know, Jerry has not lived up to the hype. Jerry Judy's a really good wide receiver. You know, he is. I mean, he had a huge amount of hype going into the draft. Maybe he hasn't necessarily lived up to that, but I still absolutely would have him on my team. You know, so if you've got three wide receivers of that caliber, you know, you're going to be okay. The big problem is we don't have a quarterback. I think you have to give Peyton the benefit of the doubt. I think the Von Miller thing was actually, even though it was difficult, and I know you were missing for that one, Mick, but it was difficult, but I think it was the right decision. I think, you know, you were getting little or nothing for him. You were going to get a compensatory pick, which would have been, what, in a fourth or fifth rounder at best. You know, so you got a second and a third, which added to quite a lot of ammo we have. I would love that to be a move up in the draft. Sorry, I know I've gone a mad segue here, but me personally, I would love that capital to be just used once and for all to move up and get your guy. There are two or three really intriguing quarterbacks this year. You know, Corral, the guy from Ole Miss. Pickett, the guy from Pittsburgh, who I've been watching a fair bit recently. I think he's a really good quarterback. There are players there you can get and you can use. You know, so it's brilliant to have these wide receivers. But I think, you know, if the likes of Teddy and, you know, Teddy is just another version of Case Keenum, who's just another version of Joe Flacco, it doesn't really matter who your wide receivers are. You know what I mean? If you look at Demaryius Thomas and Decker, when did they come into their own? When did they become superstars? It was when Peyton Manning arrived. You know what I mean? Like they were kind of, you know, there was that exciting Tim Tebow season, which, you know, was unexpected and was great, but it ended, you know, with an absolute beatdown in New England. They became stars when, you know, the main man came to town. Now, maybe you'd have to wait for a rookie. Maybe you go out and get Russell Wilson, something like that. I don't know, but it's great. It's really exciting. There's some brilliant young pieces. You've got, you know, Albert O is looking really, really good coming back from his injury. I know Fant has maybe sometimes struggled a little bit, but I still think there's a really potentially dangerous player. You've got a brilliant running back in Javonte. So, you know, there's a lot of weapons there. But I still think you need to get the quarterback situation fixed. And I personally speaking, I know the attraction of an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson. But to me, I would once and for all love us to identify, go and get, and then develop properly our quarterback. Because then you've also got him on cheap contract, which means you can, you know, these extensions can come from other players as well.
If you had to go the short route and get somebody in the trade next year, because I want to go into the picks, so very quickly, one or two answer word. I'm going to say Rodgers instead of Wilson. Who would you take?
I'd pick Wilson for the simple reason, Mick, that he's got a good few years left in him. I don't know how long. Rodgers is getting old now a little bit at this stage. I think there's less drama potentially with Wilson. This is all, you know, relative. But I would probably go for Russell Wilson if I had to, but mainly to do with the age. I think Rodgers is still obviously a really good player, but I would err towards Russell Wilson.
I think after all this activity this week with Sutton and Patrick, surely they're going for it. But time will tell with Peyton, but he must have some sort of, well, obviously he's going to have a plan in place. But I'm intrigued to see what plan he does have in place. Let's cut. I like the way we've covered a lot of angles there. Let's cut to the game this weekend. Broncos Chargers. Collins at the game, Stuart. So it should be a good one. 9:05 Irish time. As far as I know, the game's not in Sky Sports. I'm hoping your Wi-Fi holds up for the segment. Who have you got and why?
I think, as I touched on earlier on, Michael, I think the Chargers will allow this to probably be a little bit closer than it should be. I had us winning either this or the game against the Chiefs, but I think that was probably before the Chiefs had a mini resurgence. The Chiefs are still not as strong as they have been in recent years, but they're beginning to sort of crank into gear now, which is a worry. I think we will lose this game by a touchdown. I think it'll be, as I said, a little closer than it probably needs to be. But I think the Chargers will have enough. I think the Chargers are just a better team than we are, and I think the Chargers have a vastly superior quarterback than we do.
I agree with you. I think we're starting to enter what Adam Malinati from Mile High Report has called a tough stretch now. We are entering the stretch of game where we have to play Kansas City twice. I know, and that game, we haven't even mentioned it, Stuart. That game's been flexed in 2 weeks. Who the hell thought that was a good idea? Who genuinely thought that was a good idea? I am gutted, Stuart. Absolutely devastated.
Yeah, I mean, has America not suffered enough with the Bears and the Lions as the opening Thanksgiving game that they decide then to
play? That was hard to watch, wasn't it?
Then that's in our head as well, isn't it? Like, oh man, really? Who needs
to Yes, support? But like come honestly, on. Like there was like what the Titans against the Patriots could have been flexed. Stuart.
That seemed peculiar to me. Maybe there was some kind of contractual thing that we weren't aware of that was kept hidden and had been unearthed, but that seemed bizarre. I think, Mick, it's probably to do with the fact that without, you know, let's remember this is a Denver Broncos podcast, but I think that's to do with the fact that the Chiefs are beginning to get their act together. Maybe there's a kind of a, you know, there's a storyline there, and you know, I guess the Broncos Chiefs is a historic rivalry, but I personally was really surprised when I heard that news. I did not expect that game to be flexed, to be honest.
Let's see how it. I mean, will we finally get that win in Arrowhead that Colin keeps predicting every year? I'm taking the Chargers on Sunday, Stuart, and I'm sorry to all the Broncos fans out there. I think Herbert and Eckler is going to be too much, and that as simple as it is. I think that we're going to not run the ball enough, and we'll not get enough consistency in third downs to get down the field enough. I do think the first quarter of this game is crucial. I think the Broncos can come out and have a good enough start. We have a chance, but something tells me Herbert's, you're talking about the Chiefs getting back into form. I think Herbert's starting to find form now. Great performance against Pittsburgh last week. let's see what happens. I'm taking the Chargers win by field goal. I hope I'm wrong. If that Broncos team goes 6-5, I'll be delighted. But we are entering a stretch now of games that we need to, you know, really put up or shut up. You know, are we for real, or are we in and out as much as, you know, out the door or whatever? So it needs to happen. It needs to start this weekend. And hopefully, Stuart, finally, Colin can bring us some luck at the game on Sunday.
He does have a pretty good record over there, though, doesn't he? I think from what I remember, I'm pretty sure he's seen the last two games in Denver. They won, I think.
This is why it's almost gutting that I haven't got video on here, because I'd put it up. But whenever Colin went to the Vikings game, there's like an infamous picture where he's livid. But I think in Denver, he's got a very good record. I mean, I'm 0-4. So I'm going to have to bring you over, Stuart, at some time.
Well, that's it. Well, I think, in fairness to Colin, he has been a big fan of Herbert's for quite some time, and he's magnanimous enough to admit that, you know, the opposition of a rival has got a sensational player. So I think even if the Broncos do lose, I think Colin will at least get to see Herbert up close. And he's a smart. You see, Herbert is exactly the type of quarterback that I want us to go out and get. Michael, that's what I want us to, you know, look, we've been Broncos fans for a long time. I've been a Broncos fan for longer than you. Apart from John Elway, the Broncos have never got themselves a quarterback through the draft. They developed properly. Cutler was the closest, and he had other, you know, there was other situations and issues with him. But we've never been able to. And I think we need to. And I think, as I said, you know, you get yourself a good young quarterback on that team friendly rookie contract, then that's when you can make hay. You know, that's what these teams are doing. That's what Mahomes, you know, the Chiefs did. That's what the Chargers are doing. You know, so there's a reason for that. Yeah, the veteran route is an attractive one if a team has a lot of pieces like the Bucks had and needed to be pushed over the edge. But personally speaking, I'd love us to go out and get our own Justin Herbert, because he's a really, really good player. You know, you have to hold your hands up and go, that guy is just the real deal.
He is. And talking about a real deal, Colin's at the game on Sunday. He's going to be in media. He's going to be asking Vic Fangio a couple of questions. So we'll get the questions to him at some point. So,
that could be very interesting. This may actually be our final podcast when the Broncos discover that Colin Cronin has absolutely no affiliation with Broncos Europe podcast. We don't know Colin Cronin. Never heard of him. Must have somebody else.
Fair props to now. Fair props to the Broncos, who have given the media coverage, and I think it was going to happen. So thanks very much to the Broncos, and thanks to the Bears sorting them out last week. I'm glad the Broncos done the same, or else it would have been a disaster. But Stuart, I hope you enjoy your NFL weekend, man. It was tough enough watching that Lions Bears game yesterday, but hopefully we're chatting next week on a win after a bye week for both of us. And appreciate your time, man. But thanks for coming on.
No problem, Michael. Yeah, we'll see. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it'll be a good game. I do think we'll lose, but I think it'll be a good... I think we're now at the stage, Michael, where, you know, I do think Troy is right. I think that 5-2 record over the next 7 games is that's what you need to be aiming for, and you got to start. We've got to win one of the next 2 games, realistically. If we lose this game against the Chargers and then lose against the Chiefs, then you're more or less toast, you know. So we got to win one of those, and this is the more likely, given the history of the way we've played against the Chiefs in the last couple of years. So so this is it. You don't want to say it because it's such a cliche, but this is very close to must win territory now, where we're at in the season, and given the state of our record and tiebreakers and stuff, we really need to win this game.
Absolutely. What a season in the AFC overall, never mind the AFC West. Thanks very much, Stuart, for coming on, man. Again, great to chat with you, and hopefully Colin enjoys the game on Sunday. You can listen to us on the Mile High Report podcast network. Just search Mile High Report or type in Dublin to Denver podcast on all podcast platforms. Appreciate you listening. If you want to leave a review or whatever, please do so. We'll see you next week on the Dublin to Denver podcast on the Mile High Report sports network. See you soon. Go Broncos. Good luck.
Go Broncos. Go Colm. Ask those tough questions.